Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Sunday morning, January the 18th. Wow, 2015, and I am more than grateful to be with you. I am humbled. I am thrilled. I have three wonderful questions. What's going on out there? Somebody's listening and waking up here a little bit, and I want to thank my listeners for taking the time to write me and listen to these radio programs, and I want to thank my sponsors. It is only through their generosity, their loving kindness, that I am allowed to be here, sitting here in my little studio in my office at home, and sharing with you these radio programs, and may they serve you well. And if you ever have a question, any of you listening to my voice right now and would like to ask, please feel free to do so. I am here to serve. And if there is anything that's on your pea picker, as it were, about your spiritual practice, your life, whatever, I am more than interested in your question, more than interested. And yesterday we had a wonderful question by Joseph about Tibetan pulsing and why we have so many meditations and the ebb and the flow of it and learning how to, so to speak, find the vision to grow into our meditations. Meditation is a unique thing. It's a very unique thing. The Tibetan pulsing meditations that I offer are an evolution, a revolution and an evolution. They do not promote sameness. And as we grow in the tones, and it is only through the tones that we grow, we begin to find maturity in our spirit, in our hearts. And it is only through the heart and the spirit of our heart that we find the meaning of our own existence. So there you are. Much is happening, much will happen. And I hope that these questions that I'm going to be answering here serve you well. First one comes from Adrian, and Adrian lives in New York City. How do we proceed in our life through karma, as you teach, as we begin to really find out that we have predestined our lives? Adrian, we do predestine our lives. Your life and my life can't be any different than the way it is right now. Until I move more deeply into love, until I am willing to move more deeply into love, my life will not move any further. The circumstances and the conditions will just become more pronounced. And I have destined my life to live according to the manner of my own consciousness. Now, that being said, let's go a little deeper and a little further. Most of us use hate and fear as a way to live our life, Adrian. This sets into motion a karma that is very pronounced. This karma goes on and on in our living and tells us what is good and bad, what is right and wrong. This karma sets into motion many difficulties in my life. Many. These predestined difficulties come into my worldly life. Now, I want you to understand something, Adrian, and it must be understood here with great diligence and awareness, that the circumstances of my life and your life can be greatly, greatly misunderstood and exaggerated, either for the good or for the not so good, as we would like to term it here on earth. So the person who is wise, who is diligent, the person who is a person of, shall we say, heart, of love, of compassion, never looks at situations and makes them difficult. A person who is truly working upon themselves never looks at their life and says, my life is this, my life is that, and bases their entire life based and predicated on circumstances and conditions. You just never do it. Now, some people do that. They like doing that. They like looking at their life, and the only proof they have of anything they're doing in their life, be it the right way or the wrong way, is how things work out in the circumstances of their life. If you are doing things you think are kind and loving and people start treating you better, quote unquote, with more respect and love, you think you're doing the right thing. If you're tithing and you believe that in tithing you're going to be given that which you tithe and more, and you start seeing more money come in, then you will assume that that's what it's all about. But I say to you, it goes far deeper than all of that. Circumstances and conditions can be greatly exaggerated and forgotten. And if you want to choose to do that, you certainly can. There is nothing in the realm of your life that says to you, you don't have the right to do that. But the wise person doesn't do that. Now, if you want to be wise, you have to understand that circumstances and conditions are only the manifestation of a certain chemical that is going on in your life and my life. Certain things are placed here and placed there due to our karma. And as we begin to experience these things in proportion to our karma, how we interpret them is how they will seem to be to us. Now, if your mentality is that of negative, if you kind of have a depressed personality, you're going to find that everything that happens to you is never good enough, not right, da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's how you're going to see everything through your depression. If you're optimistic, you're going to see everything as being good. And people will tell you, well, that's the right attitude. But the real attitude, the real implication of it all can't be seen through that. I must take the only don't know attitude. That is the only one that matters. Only don't know. Now, the more I think I know, the less I will truly know. And the object of the game here is to stay in a place where not only do we not value things from right and wrong, good and bad, but we see things in proportion to the love we can withstand within us. It is all about love. It is not about good or bad, right or wrong. And I'm not talking about little L. I'm talking about the big L, big love. See how you love, said the Buddha, and what keeps you from the journey. If you can see how you love, and the state of your love, and what it means to be in authentic love rather than my Gregory Penn love, then you're in a posture, in a position where you can take your life into many, many different dimensions, many, many ways. It takes courage, not conviction, courage to sustain a sense of only don't know. You are watching. Adrian, you are watching and watching and watching. And pretty soon, karma becomes very prevalent to you. You start to see, this could only happen because of that. That could only happen because of this. This occurred because of that. You start to realize the bigger picture without thinking. And I know you don't believe me right now, but you can do all of this without thinking. Thinking is only a way to get misunderstood and to misunderstand. Thinking is very small. What do I think from? I think from my emotionality. I think from my beliefs. I think from my fears. I think from everything that isn't me. And as long as I think from this premise, I miss the meaning of my own existence. And when I miss that, I miss love, and I misinterpret everything that is happening in my life. And this is why we have such great difficulty. Our lives are predestined, whether we know it or not, whether we believe it or not. And it isn't anyone else but ourselves that has predestined our own existence. Nothing is happening the way I think it's happening. There is no logic and reasoning to all of this. It just appears that way because that's the way I want to see it. But when you look behind the scenes, when you can go backstage and you can really see, observe, only don't know, you begin to realize this is a much bigger thing than I can imagine. And I am living in something that is far greater than my beliefs could ever hold. So, Adrian, if you really want to change the gestalt of all of this, give up your beliefs. Understand, I know not what I do, and I only don't know. Keep watching. The ego, the vanity, the pride, the emotionality of you will kick in. It'll keep saying to you, oh, but this, oh, but that, how about this, how about that? Don't get involved. Don't get involved in that. Don't look at that. Don't make that an issue. Just stay in the middle way. Nati nati, as we say, neither this, neither that. Just stay in the middle way. Eventually, a new mind will grow in you. A new mind will develop. And you'll start seeing things the way they truly are. And not the way you and I, in our emotionality, need to believe they are. You have to want nothing, Adrian, with all of your heart. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me, Adrian. Namaste. I hope that helps. Hope that helps all of you in some way or another. The next question comes from Liz, and she says she lives in Northern California. Why do you take the we are wrong approach instead of how good we are approach, Liz? Well, Liz, this assessment of what I am taking is very difficult to understand if you're not with me, if you don't know me at all. I'm neither taking a negative stand or a positive stand, but I can understand how you might feel if you've read anything I've ever written or listened to these radio programs. It can sound very negative, and I can understand that. But it is the approach you take. I am just showing you what is going on. If you listen to the Jesus, the Buddhas, the Lhasas, you will find that all the great masters speak in the same language I am trying to communicate to you. That, yes, it isn't a matter of being wrong. It is a matter of not being adept. It is a matter of not applying oneself to the adeptness of compassion, forgiveness, and love. There are many things we do that are counter to the way life works, counter to love, counter to compassion. Maybe that would be a better word for you, that we live in counter-diction to ourselves, to our authentic self. We dictate that which lives within us out into the world and life through the vibrations of our energies. And if you look at your energy and even the intent of your question, it could be taken that you are being very negative right now. Why are you even asking the question? Because you want things to be positive rather than negative? If you look at the world, we're on the brink of starvation, war, famine, all the time. Things have not changed over the centuries. We used to throw rocks at each other, and now we throw bombs. We used to have, you know, a little food here, a little food there. Now, a large part of the world is starving to death while we keep making babies. Does that seem, quote-unquote, right to you? I don't like to use the word right and wrong, good and bad. I really don't. But these are the words I am given in the language that I speak. But maybe it would be better for you to think about your intent in life. Your question, shows a certain intent, that you want this to turn out the way you want it to turn out, that you want your life to be the way you believe it is or should be or whatever, happy ever after kind of mentality. This does not promise happy ever after. If you listen to Jesus, if you listen to the Buddha, you're going to find them to be very negative according to your standards. These are men who are constantly correcting us and saying, no, not that way, this way. No, not that way, this way. Over and over and over again, trying to show us exactly how this all works. But we are not much interested in how this all works. We are only interested in how we get what we want. And that typically means that I have to do some very ugly things in my life to sustain whatever it is that I desire. So, what do I say to you? What could I say, Liz, to you? Really, what could I say? You're probably living in a way in which most of us live, where we are unconscious, where we are thinking we know what is fair and unfair, thinking that bad people should get theirs, and there's a certain form of vengeance that we're interested in, and everyone should live according to some standard that you and I have inside of our brain that we measure everyone by and for, and that if people don't do that, then they are poopy people, and they don't belong in our life, or they should all go somewhere else and live, or whatever. And with this attitude, which is an elitist attitude, we miss the whole thing. Look, I don't sit here day after day, 7 days a week, and think of ways to show that you are wrong. I really don't. I just see things the way they appear according to sometimes Greg, but oftentimes towards from something inside of me that is totally different than old Greg. Greg doesn't always like what I have to say. He doesn't believe in some of the things I have to say. He's very convoluted, and he wants right over wrong, good over bad, and he wants everybody happy, healthy, and wonderful. But it doesn't work that way. And when it doesn't work like that, Greg gets annoyed. I work at hospice. Nothing that is going on there is something that Greg enjoys or thinks is right. So I understand the nature of your question, but you have to look at the bigger picture. What am I all about? How do I change the way I live with myself? How do I change the meaning of my life? How do I change my existence? How do I change? I want to mature. I want to grow. And I don't mean that in a kind of Disneyland mentality. I want to mature into love. I want to be able to mature into love. And that means I have to jettison some stuff inside me, just like you. We have to be willing to let go of the things that keep us from love. What was it Buddha said? See how you love and what keeps you from the journey. That is the major effort. Nothing more, nothing less. So what am I going to do with that? I am going to bring great wisdom into my life if I bring love into my life. And that means I have to trim down. I'm going to have to let go of some things that I've probably lived my whole life for and didn't know it. It's all in the intent. Liz, I don't sit here and try to insult you week after week with my radio programs, my TV programs, or anything else I do. I'm not sitting there thinking, well, if I'm critical, I can do this and I can do, you know, but I'm also not here to tell you that your poop doesn't smell and that the things you think, say, and do are kind. They're not. Many of the things that we do are unkind. Many of the things we do have ramifications in our life that we don't really want to take responsibility for. And I have to talk about that because, believe it or not, no one else will. You don't sell books this way. You don't become popular by what I am teaching. Why do you think they chose Barabbas over Jesus at his crucifixion? Huh? He wasn't popular either. No one is popular who talks like this. Now, if you talk in riddles and things like Oprah people can understand, then there you are. It's easy. Oh, everything's going to be positive. Just get rid of this and just do that and just keep doing this and be positive and you'll have the life you never had before and just have the courage of a lion. And oh, God. And that's what people want to hear. But I'm telling you things that are behind the scenes. And they're only for people who have ears to hear and eyes to see. And I hope one day you'll be patient enough with me and with what I'm trying to do to see what I'm really trying to do. If you take it according to appearances, you won't want to do any of this. If you take it according to your heart, you will know it all. And you already do. It's just a matter of clearing away the debris. Please forgive me, Liz. Be patient with me. And forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. It is a difficult job I have, and I'm not very good at it at times. Namaste. People want love songs while they live in hate. And it's a very difficult thing. Sometimes I have to say to my counselees and people that I love very much, this is not going to work. This is not good for you. This is not right. And they cringe and they get angry at me for it. It is not something that I find exciting or rewarding. It just isn't. It's like saying to someone who is ill, stop doing the things that make you ill and you'll get well. And they keep saying, but I can't help myself. I can't help myself. I can't help myself. You can help yourself. Last question. What do you mean by missing a lifetime? It sounds ominous to me. Gerald from New Mexico. Gerald, most of us are missing our entire life. We don't even get it. You live in this body. You come into this world through a womb. And you enter into a physical body. You enter into a physical world. And then it's all about taking care of our emotionality. Everything is emotional. If you are geared towards emotionality, it will mean that you are caring more for your body than your soul. And if you don't understand the nature of your life as soulfulness, then you will miss your entire life. Everything that is happening in our life matters. Everything that is happening in our living is important. Everything is vital, Gerald. And if we don't live according to the vitalness of our heart and our soul, then we have nothing in our life that means a hill of beans. You can become wealthy, you can become popular, you can become all sorts of things, but it doesn't really matter. What we do in this world doesn't matter as from where we did it from. If you did things, so to speak, to bring the world forward, maybe in technology like Steve Jobs did, but you have no heart and soul, no sense of awareness, no service to humankind, then what good are these things? Do you remember the story of the man that Jesus talked about, Gerald? This man became wealthy, and he decided, well, since I'm wealthy, I'm going to pull down my old barns and build new ones. And I have enough money now to eat, drink, and be merry. But then one night, Jesus says, his soul was required of him. Now, a lot of people interpret this as dying, but it's not. It is not that he was dying. His soul, something of his spirituality, was required of him to meet a situation and a condition that was very difficult. His spirituality was required of him. And then all that he had didn't mean anything. And more importantly, what he had to do to get all that and to do all of that didn't lend itself to the meaning of his life and his spirituality. There comes a time, I have found, Gerald, in everyone's life, my life, your life, everyone's life, when what you have achieved inwardly becomes the only thing that you can use to help you through or with something very challenging, whether it be an illness, whether it be the loss of a job, a loved one, a child, whatever. It really doesn't matter. If you don't have the ability to see beyond the current circumstance and conditions of your life, you will miss. You will miss what it was all about. And people want, like I said earlier to Liz, happy ever after. They want their life to be happy ever after. And we think if things turn out, quote unquote, good, that we didn't miss. But we do miss, even when things turn out good, because we didn't get it. We didn't get the meaning and the significance of whatever it was that we were struggling with or being shown or experiencing. So we just keep the foolishness going on and on and on and on. And what can I say? What can I say to you? Don't miss your life. Live in love at all costs to what you believe your life is, and you will have something quite meaningful in your living. Thank you, Gerald. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, something I could help you with, please come to the website at aspire.org. At the top of the page, you will see contact. Just click on it. Send me an email. If you don't want me to use your name or where you live, just let me know, and I will not. I want to thank my beautiful sponsors for their kind and loving donations, which makes all this possible. And I thank you for the honor of being of service to you today. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.